show and tell. Everybody take a look at the picture on the front of the... You see this woman, the queen. I have a pawn right here, same thing, the picture of the woman on the front. Okay, I love her. Have any of you been to Lewis? It's an island in the Outer Hebrides. Anybody been there? Okay, if you haven't, put that on your bucket list. It's a beautiful island and it has a museum. And I was just mesmerized by, when we went there, with this pawn. It's really probably from the 12th century Denmark. Who knows? Somehow it got to Lewis and they found it. And they were doing some kind of digging in the ground, this chess set. So they put it in the museum. And why did I love her? Because she's the queen and what? Oish. You know? How did I become queen? Do I want to be queen? Do I have to make decisions? Oh, they're going to hate me. So I told my cousin about this, and he went to Lewis, and he came and said, oh, she's the queen with the toothache. I said, yeah, that one. So he bought her one and brought me home this queen of the toothache. Anybody want to hold her? Do you feel you need to hold her? Want to hold her? You can. Good. You take care of her, Beulah. So, authority. Was it easy or hard for you to gain your voice, your authority? Maybe you're still looking for it. I don't know. We all are still looking for it, aren't we? But when did it come to you? Your first day in a job, the first time you had a parent, when your child turned 13. You know, when did it come where you knew you had to say, yes, no, maybe, let's work this out? And it's a hard process. And I had, I would say it was a major experience in my life. And it reminded me of it in the last few weeks. You know, the Olympic Peninsula had so much ice. I was kind of in the house for 9 days because I'm on a hill. So I thought, I need to clean out files. So I took all these files and I'm throwing things out and I found a file that said, ordination process. I want to say, okay, let's throw that one out. And I thought, no, open it up. And it had an evaluation because I had to work for a certain part of time in a hospital. And I was given, well, I actually chose it, Bellevue Hospital in New York City. And if anyone's lived in New York City, you know what I'm talking about. It is this huge hospital. It is a hospital for trauma. It has a large section for mental illness, and it is kind of the last resort for many people in New York that don't have a lot of money. It's for people who need help. And if you've been to New York, you can probably say everybody on the subway needs help, right? So, you know, this is a place where people are brought for healing. And you know why I love Bellevue? Because when we went there, we were told, don't use a first name. Don't say, hi, Joe. You say, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith, I'm so glad you're here. To honor the people, many who were from the streets. So, I was amazed that they put me in the ward with the locked, it was a locked ward. And it was the mental health ward. It would be the last place I would have chosen. But I read this, and I don't know why. Fear, maybe, knowing I didn't know what to do. But I read the evaluation and said, Kate has owned her authority on the fourth floor in the mental ward. And I thought, yeah, I did. I did. I walked in the first day, I did not know what the heck I was doing. I read the evaluations of the people, I didn't even know the words, right? What does this mean? I don't know. I tried to sit down with people, I'm like, ay, ay, ay. So I was sitting in the main room, and it had quite a few people in it, and it had staff, and this man came up and said, are you a bishop? And I laughed, I said, I'm a lowly seminarian, not a bishop. He said, ah, you want to be a bishop? I said, could be interesting. He said, how do you become a bishop? This is a patient, remember. And I said, well, you know, you're kind of called from the community, and then, you know, the authority of the community, they lay hands on you, you kneel down, and people put their hands on and say, hey, bishop. He said, oh, okay. So, the next day, I come to the ward, you know, ring the bell, and here's this man standing. He said, would you come to the common room? I'm like, sure. And this was one of the most powerful moments of my life, actually. This man said to everyone, what are we asking of Kate? And they said, will you be our bishop? Right? Will you be our bishop? And this man said, kneel down. And maybe 25 people came over and said, bishop. Bishop. I felt every single one of them, you know? Bishop, bishop, bishop. They were what? They were giving me their authority. They were giving me their authority. I came in, did not know what the heck I was doing. And they knew it. They knew it. And I thought what they were saying to me, if you're going to heal us, be one of us, but we're giving you authority, right? They were giving me what? Their authority, and expected me to give it back. Or I think they were saying, go home. Go home if you don't want the job. So, if I look back at that time, I know very clearly that I chose to be there. I chose it. So the next question, and I think Jesus is kind of moving into this in this gospel. People, we all know people who have authority, and then there's the question of abuse, right? And truthfully, I think we're in one of those abusive times. And in this world, it's scary to look how authority can be used or not used. And this was in the same in Jesus' time. Remember, he came into the time where he had Herod. We had the religious establishment, which was not helping the people, really. And the Romans were doing everything they could do to dehumanize normal people, poor people. They had rules, taxes, ordinances. And Jesus is moving into his authority the same as anyone else. I mean, last week he calls disciples, right? Come with me, come with me. He needs a community. So in today's gospel story, this is one of the first moves in the gospel where Jesus takes the authority that was given to him by the community and starts to use it. So the story of the man with the unclean spirit, very early in the gospel. And it starts with Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath, that's important. It's a very holy day. And Jesus, right off the bat, comes in conflict with the scribes. How? Well, the scribes were the experts. They were teaching about law. And Jesus was not teaching from that space at all. Not at all. Not that he was disobeying the law, but he was coming from another position. And in Deuteronomy, we're hearing this morning about how you become or take on the role, choose to say, I will become a prophet. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He becomes mediation of God's word of love and healing. He's birthing something very new in this synagogue. So Jesus teaches, and this is scary for the scribes because their livelihood, their very essence, is on the law, and Jesus is coming in and saying, yes, the law, and there is something new. And he is beginning his mission. And this is scary, and the beginning of some sort of antagonism begins, and Jesus moves on. And then, how about this unclean spirit? There are many translations for unclean, and one of them is simply the word evil. It doesn't say anything about mental, it doesn't say anything about what this man has, except that something has taken over him. Now, I ask you, have you ever been taken over by an evil spirit?
Yes.
Yes. I say yes, yeah. You know, we all have it moments where we just are not in control of what we want to do. I mean, St. Paul says that. I mean, that is part of being human. Have you been part of a culture that has been taken over by an unclean spirit? I think yes, right? If we look at world history, we know that this is possible. So Jesus is asking what is holy and what is unholy, because this man, he's an outcast. He has this evil spirit. He's not even allowed in the synagogue because he is unclean. And Jesus is ministering to him there. And he hears this man in pain. So, what do we do about this? This spirit knows what he's doing. He's not a dumb spirit. He takes on a duel with Jesus. Okay, how's he started? Oh, Holy One of God. He tries to name Jesus. And in this period of time, if you name someone, you have power over them. That's how it was supposed to be. If you name someone, you have power over them. And then this spirit has chutzpah. Listen to this. Have you come to destroy not me, but us? He starts lying. He adds power unto himself that he does not have. Us. We have power, Jesus, not you. It's a bully act. And Jesus does not step back. Jesus goes out and he exercises the spirit from this suffering man. And when I was a kid, my mother, oh Lord, if I ever used the word shut up, I was dead. Okay. But right here in this gospel, Jesus uses a word from the Greek where he says to the evil one, shut up. That's the translation, literally. So what does the spirit do? He knows, I've met my match. He wails, he cries, and he is defeated. And here's what happens. The community realizes that this man has authority. They are awestruck, if you look at the words. And I so truly want to be awestruck with someone in authority. Someone that I think, woo, this is the one, and go out and preach. This is the one. And that's what's happening in this story. They know that Jesus is preaching something that is different. He's preaching liberation. He's saying, you too can be healed. And that is one of his manifestations of his power. So I want to talk about today. What does this mean to us? Well, first, I think I want to say, you know, if there was no unclean spirit, I'm not sure that Jesus would know his own power. That unclean spirit was a part of teaching Jesus who he was. So if we come to today, I think we need to name the unclean spirits. Name them. There are unclean spirits in our society, and we can choose to name them or not. And I have not always been in sync with the papacy. You know, sometimes I want to say, hey, yo, no, uh-uh, yeah. What about women? You know, women? Ooh. But I'll tell you, the Pope did something a couple of weeks ago that amazed me. He invited some Palestinians in, and they told him their story, and they heard him say the word genocide. You may not agree with the Pope, but he used the word. He named it. Then the Vatican came out and said, well, he didn't quite mean genocide. But the people that were there said they heard the word, and they brought it back to their community. There is someone who heard us. There's someone who knows what's going on here. There's someone of God who heard us. And the word spreads. And the word spreads. What are the problems that we have? I don't know, I can name them all. Homelessness. Prices go up. Who can afford? You know, in Port Townsend, what does the teacher do to get a home? I have a little cottage behind me, and there are nurses saying, please, 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 could we stay in this 200-foot box? Homelessness, how do we name it? A healthcare system that has limited access. A war. Do we have wars for retribution or geographical expansion? How do we name it? How do we own it? On a personal level, some of us in this very room maybe or have been victims of addiction or abuse or prejudice, or the one that is most powerful, I think, in all of our lives, that voice, that spirit inside of us that says, you are not good enough. You're never going to be good enough. You never were good enough, and you never will ever be good enough. That's the evil one, folks. And Jesus never blames the victim, the one who's tied with the unclean spirit. No. We can be, all of us in this room can be captured by something that's larger than ourselves. We can be captured by the bully. And if we feel powerless, we need to be healed and not blamed. That is the way of Jesus. When we see evil, do we speak? Do we as Christians speak up? Do we own our own authority? If we let the unclean spirit speak, they've won if we don't speak back, if we don't exercise that. It is an unholy power that we let have someone have over us unless we say the name of it and claim it. That is the way of Jesus. So that poor queen with the toothache. I know why she has that toothache, right? Who wants to have that kind of power to name things? Because you get in trouble. You know, even get up in the morning, sometimes I just want to say, another 15 minutes, pull my comforter over. How about that mystery book that I hadn't finished the night before? You know, does the bird really have to be fed now? Let me just stay here. Do I have to get up to own my own power? And the answer is, eventually you do. You know, stay in bed for the 15 minutes, the half hour if you need it. You know, heal yourself and then go out. But eventually we need to move. In our engagement with other people, will you be bishop? Why not? Okay? All of us can say that in this room. We are healed by saying yes. If we throw away our individual authority, we're useless. Go home. You're useless to us. Stay in bed. And the unclean spirit wins. Our individual stories wins over us, our communal stories, our political stories, our religious stories. But we have hope. Yes, we have hope? Yes, we do. Jesus, as part of the gospel, says that. And we walk with the Holy One of God. We walk. So what is power and authority to you? I'd ask you to think about it. Talk about it at coffee hour. A story. A story. And I want to end with a poem that's on the bulletin. It's by Edwina Matthews. To some, power is guns. To some, power is knives. To some, power is the ability to read and write. To some, power is control. To some, power is a fist. To some, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., power was words. To some, power is like a trapped animal trying to get out of a cage. To some, power is love. To some, power is art, and to some, power is money. To me, power is knowledge. So what is power to you? A challenge, coffee hour, ask that person. Ask someone you don't know very well. So be it. Amen.
Amen.